Attention, if I could, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. I hope you will forgive me if I have to sip a little bit along and maybe even cough a little bit. But I'm relatively certain nothing I have is fatal, all right?
Amen.
Yeah. No, I've just got an old cold and they're aggravating things to have, you know? But you can't quit living because you have a cold, right?
Yes,
all right, you're there in Acts chapter 8. Look down in verse 9. The Bible says, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because out of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. We're going to leave reading right there. I want to just kind of invite your attention back there. Notice this was Philip, all right? He was in the city of Samaria. We've seen that earlier in the chapter, if you would. He was a deacon. Now, he was down in the city of Samaria, and he came there. He went down there to preach. Now, I want you to know, he didn't go to sightsee. He didn't go to vacation. He didn't go to win friends and influence people, all right? Hey, he went to preach, and he preached Christ, the virgin-born Son of God, who lived a supernatural life. He died a supernatural death. You say, preacher, what was supernatural about his death? Because they could not take his life. You mark it down. Some people today are, one of the arguments they give for their anti-Semitism is that the Jews killed Jesus. You mark it down. They didn't kill him. Nobody could kill him. The Bible plainly says he laid down his life. He laid down his life for us. He died a supernatural death, but man, praise God, he was risen in a supernatural, glorious way from the dead, all right? That's the Jesus that Philip preached. By the way, that's the Jesus we preach, okay? Same one, all right? And when he did that, man, God moved in a mighty, mighty way. There was a great revival broke out. Man, people got saved, lives got changed, people were healed, unclean spirits were cast out. But in the telling of this, notice they mention one specific individual, a fellow by the name of Simon. All right? So I want you to think about him for a moment. That's what verse 9 says. But there was a certain man called Simon. Certain man called Simon. Now, He was a faker and a fraud, all right? But seemingly, he had dazzled, these people. He had dabbled with demons too. The Bible talks about his sorcery. But he dazzled and deceived those people, and he was really good at it. Look, there are people in this world that are absolutely professional deceivers.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to preach on this, but I want to just warn you, some of them operate in the realm of religion. Some of them operate in the realm of Christianity, but they're deceivers. And you say, well, what are we supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to get a hold of the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit will help you to have good discretion in those matters, all right? And we don't have to be deceived by them. But everybody thought Simon was top-notch. Everybody in that city thought he was the best, all right? Notice what it says in verse 10. Here's how good he was, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. I want you to notice, God had nothing to do with it. The power of God wasn't involved with him. He was a deceiver, all right? And fooled the people. He came to be somebody great, and he had convinced the people that he was somebody great. So folks just flocked to him, and he enjoyed a wonderful position there in the city. And so there he was. But things changed, though, with the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they preached Christ, things changed. The Bible said people believed. They were baptized. And when that happened, he didn't seem to have the same influence as before. But I want you to notice, look at verse 13, all right? He was also saved and baptized. Verse 13, then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Hey, he got saved. The Bible said, and he hung around. He hung around and he watched. He was amazed at what he saw. Now, unfortunately, I think maybe what Simon saw was an opportunity and a way to use what he saw to make a buck for himself. So notice what he tried to do. All right, when he saw what happened, he said in verse 19, give me also this power. All right? And verse 18 said he offered him money. He offered him money. He said, I want that power that I see that you have. All right? He tried to buy the power the apostles had. When he did, that's when Peter told him, your money is no good here. Now, that's the Mosley translation, all right? Your money is no good here. Exactly what he said was, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, all right? He said, your money is just not good here. Now, Simon found that there were some things money cannot buy. Some things money cannot buy. They weren't for sale then. They're not for sale today.
Amen.
Nothing has changed, all right? Now, I want to speak to you about some things along that line, all right? And they cannot be bought with cash. Neither can they be bought with your labor. You can't work to earn these things. I want to preach to you on the subject of your money is no good here. You said, why or where? Number one, your money cannot buy the grace of God. Your money cannot buy the grace of God. Look, all through the scriptures, grace is always given. always given. Now, I don't want you to lose your place here in Acts. We may come back, all right? But I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to see what the Bible says. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn along with us there. We're in the book of Acts. The next book is the book of Romans. Then we come to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to look with me down in verse 4, okay? Now, what I said to you is, your money cannot buy the grace of God because grace is always given. Notice verse 4 of chapter 1, 1 Corinthians. The Bible said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God, notice, which is given you by Jesus Christ. The grace of God is given you by Jesus Christ. Turn to chapter 3. Same book, chapter 3, which you'll turn there. Look in verse 10. Verse 10. Paul's writing here in verse 10. He said, according to the grace of God, notice that next phrase, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. He said, that grace of God, he told them in 1 Corinthians 1, it was given to them. Paul said, the grace that I have has been given to me. Given to me. Look over in Ephesians. You said, where's that? Keep going, all right? First and Second Corinthians, then Galatians, then the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, all right? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7. Once again, Paul, writing under the inspiration of God, said, whereof I was made a minister according to, here it is, the gift of the grace of God given unto me. Given unto me. All right? That grace of God is a thing that's always given. You cannot purchase it. It's given. All right? It is given. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You said, preacher, you're making your point. Good. I want to be sure you got it. All right? I don't want you to walk away from here and say, I don't think he had it. Right? No, we got it. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Say, preacher, we got you. It doesn't say given. No, but that's exactly what bestowed means. It means it was given, all right? It was given. Hey, what are you saying? I'm trying to emphasize to you the grace of God cannot be bought. It is given to people. God's grace is always given. You cannot buy the grace of God because it's already been paid for. Amen. It's already been paid for. No sense in you buying something that's already been paid for, right? It's already been paid for. You say, well, who paid for it? Man, I'm glad you asked, all right? Look over, if you will, in the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, man, we have the word of God on it. You don't have to take this preacher's word. You can take the word of God. Romans 5, verse 15 says this. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of God, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Said that grace of God, where'd it come from? From the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by one man, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid for that grace. Look, every gift has to be paid for. Doesn't matter what gift it is or where it's from, every gift must be paid for. And that thing called grace that we enjoy and we get excited about, and we should. But I'll never forget when I was a little kid, I heard people talking about grace, and they described it using the acrostic. It's God's riches at Christ's expense. God, G, riches, R, at A, Christ, C, expense, E, grace. It's Christ's expense. Why? He paid for it.
Amen.
He paid for it. You and I today can have grace, but the grace we have is grace that's freely given. And it's freely given to you and I, and it can be freely given because the Lord Jesus Christ paid for it. He paid for it, all of it, all right? All grace All grace is at Christ's expense. Christ's expense. What a wonderful thing it is to have the grace of God. Usually we talk about grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. And a lot of times people get confused and say, what's the difference? Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Mercy is what you don't get what you deserve. Anybody ever been stopped by a police officer or a state trooper or anybody in law enforcement and you were speeding and you did not get a ticket? Anybody like that? Yeah. Boy, said, what was that? Mercy! Mercy, I didn't get what I deserved. I've told you about driving downtown, running a red light, and there was a police officer sitting at the red light, and I drove by him when I ran the red light. And I thumbed my nose at him. No, I didn't. I really didn't realize, you know, just I saw it as I went under it. But man, he didn't give me a ticket. He said, you need to be more careful. I was just a kid. I was a teenage driver. Boy, thank God for mercy. Yeah. Oh, but wait a minute. There's grace. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. It's when you get what you don't deserve. That's grace. That's grace. Many of you, over just a couple of weeks ago, we had this time of the year called Christmas, and you sat down and unwrapped stuff that you didn't deserve. But you got it by grace, the grace of somebody else. They gave you a gift, all right? What a good thing it is. Hey, grace, your money is no good here. Your money is no good here. Hey, it just can't get the job done because grace for living, grace for giving, grace for dying, all grace is given to you. Given to you. Your money's just no good. Your money's no good. But I'll tell you something else. Your money also not only cannot buy grace, it cannot buy salvation's forgiveness. Cannot buy salvation's forgiveness. You have your Bible there. We were in the book of Ephesians just a moment ago. Would you turn again to Ephesians chapter 2 this time? We were in Ephesians, weren't in chapter 2, but don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see what the Bible says, all right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gift of God. Hey, that's salvation. Salvation. We as Bible believers talk about salvation. Salvation involves our sins being forgiven. Not only our sins being forgiven, but us being forgiven of being a sinner. Amen. All right? Of being a sinner. Now, a lot of times people get confused about those two. All right? And you say, what's the difference between being forgiven for your sins or being forgiven because you're a sinner? Okay? Let's put it on a level where we can all grasp it. Is there anybody here who's never been lied to? We've been lied to. Somebody at some point in time has come along and lied to you. All right? And it could have been about all kinds of things. Most of us know somebody who is what we would call a perpetual liar. They're constantly lying. Constantly lying. Now, we had a student years ago in school like that. I got to the point where I realized I really cannot believe anything this student tells me. I just can't. Because, I mean, it's one lie after another. And you said, well, how did you cope with that? Didn't throw him out of school. No, I didn't. So what'd you do? Well, I decided I'm going to forgive you because you're just a liar. Not having to forgive every lie, but I'm just going to forgive you because I know you're a liar. my friend, it was necessary for God to forgive you for being a sinner for you to have any hope of heaven. He had to forgive you. Not just, I told a lie. Not just that. Not because you stole something. Not just because of that. Not because you took his name in vain and you vilely cursed and used his name in that cursing. Oh, and not for that sin. He forgave you for the fact that you were a sinner. You're not forgiven what you did, but forgive you for what you are. For what you are, okay? That's forgiveness. Can I say this to you? Your money cannot buy the forgiveness that comes at salvation. Can't do it. And once again, salvation's forgiveness can't be bought because, guess what? It's already been paid for. It's already been paid for. Man, have you ever had somebody, maybe somebody here has, I never have. But have you ever been in line at a drive-thru? Okay, your drive-thru, have you ever been in line at the drive-thru? And when you got there, they said, the person ahead of you paid for your meal. Anybody been paid? Have that? You got it? All right, there you go, good. Amen. Everybody looks in the rearview mirror and sees it's me and says, ain't no way, we're paying for that dude. Amen. All right, but I'm glad he done it. Somebody's done it for you, all right? Man, what a good thing it was to go up there and realize, hey, it's already been paid. Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to worry about it. Man, somebody's taking care of it for you. Somebody else paid. Hey, listen, you can't buy salvation's forgiveness because the Lord Jesus Christ paid for it. He paid for it. Not only did he pay for grace, but he paid for that forgiveness. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says this. Boy, what a verse. What a verse. The Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. Hey, while we were yet sinners. We didn't have to clean up. We didn't have to get presentable. He died for us just like we are. Sorry, good for nothing, worthless sinner. He said, preacher, how dare you say that about me? I didn't say it about you. I said about all of us. That's me. Don't deserve it. Don't deserve forgiveness. But he paid for it. He paid for it. I can't pay for it. Man, I can't pay for it. I don't know. Maybe somebody here, you're sitting here this morning, you're a very wealthy individual, you know, and God has been good and allowed you to amass a fortune. And maybe you're like those people, many that have, and they've bought them a house that stretches over more land than you can imagine, has more bedrooms than you can sleep in, and it's got all the amenities. It may have an indoor pool and an outdoor pool. You may have a tennis court, or they may have a basketball court, and even a gym as part of it, and a workout room and all that stuff. And maybe you're that way and you can afford it. But I'll tell you something. You still can't afford salvation's forgiveness. You can't. If you could buy it, if it was for sale, you couldn't afford it. I said, preacher, you don't know how big my bank account is. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Take your Bible over to 1 Peter, would you? 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You could not afford it. Old Simon got in line. He said, I want this power. And I'm willing to pay for it. And Peter said, your money's no good here. I tell you what, when you're lining up and trying to forget forgiveness for being a sinner, you find your money's no good here, okay? You can't afford it. Well, I'll work for it. You can't earn it. You can't earn it. If you could do your best for 1,000 years every day, you couldn't earn one day of forgiveness. You said, why not? Here's why. Look at verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from whom your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hey, you realize this, you hang on to it. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The price of forgiveness for your being a sinner cannot be measured in dollars and cents. Not in silver or gold. If we could fill this room with gold bullion and just jam every bit we could get in here, it wouldn't pay for one person sitting in here forgiveness for their sin. Not one. Because the Bible said the price is blood. You said, I'll shed my blood then. Well, wait a minute. Whoa. You got a blood problem. You got the same blood problem I've got. The Bible said ours is corrupt. Ours is corrupt. You are dying right now.
Amen.
Because you got corrupt blood. You said, well, man, you a doctor? No. Bible believer.
That's right. Amen.
Hey, the reason we die is because we've got a corrupt blood that flows through our veins. It's been tainted by sin. I may be getting too deep, so I won't get in so deep here, all right? Let me back up just a little bit and say to you, the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But that blood had to be pure blood, never tainted by sin. Friend, that's the reason Jesus Christ was born of a virgin.
Amen.
That is the reason, had he not been born of a virgin, there'd be no hope for any of us. But he was born of a virgin. He got into this world with blood not tainted by sin. And you check it out. The Bible said he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never sinned. Now, it says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He didn't do what we do. When he was angry, he didn't sin. There's no sin in being angry. We sin because we do get angry. Some of you get angry and stuff comes out of your mouth that your mama should have washed your mouth out with soap.
Yes, sir.
I remember my cousin was at my house one day and he came out with something, and then I can still see the picture in my mind of that boy sitting on my mama's lap. She had a wash rag in her hand. She rubbed it on a bar of soap, and she got inside his mouth with that. She said, well, what kept him from biting her? He knew better, buddy.
Amen.
That soap was bad stuff, but what would have happened if he had bit her? Would have been a whole lot worse.
Amen.
She worked him over, and he spit for 2 hours after that. Hey, stuff like that comes out of your mouth when you get angry. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. We get mad. We do things. Man, there's idiots in this world. They get mad on the highway and shoot somebody. Hey, but our Lord Jesus Christ was angry, but he never sinned. Never sinned. Hey, I don't know about you, but it's hard for me to conceive of not sinning. But he never did. Never did. But because of that, when he went to the cross, his blood would pay for our sin. Hey, your money, it's no good there. Can't do it, can't buy it. I'm saved by the blood and my sins are now gone, they're forgiven. The Bible said there as far as the east is the west, so far have my iniquities have been separated. Why? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, if you're saved this morning, you're saved not because you had the money or you labored, because you can't afford it. Your money's no good here. Number three, I want you to see this quickly. Here's the thing that Simon was after. He said, I want that power that comes with the Holy Ghost being laid in. Hey, I want to tell you something. Your money cannot buy the Holy Spirit's filling. Cannot do it. The filling of the Holy Ghost is given to those who yield themselves to that Spirit and allow Him to fill you. If you allow, you yield. Wait a minute, you know what yielding is? Giving. Hey, you can't buy it. Your money's no good. The only way to get that filling of the Holy Spirit is to give yourself. Now, wait a minute. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to quickly say this. The Holy Spirit's not given the way it was in Acts chapter 8. Things are changed. Things are different. It's not given then. It does not come. The Bible said there in Acts 8, they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. That's not the way you get the Holy Ghost today, all right? You say, preacher, why do you say that? Because of Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. For one reason, the Bible says there, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you.
Amen.
Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You are not a child of God if you do not have the Holy Spirit in you today. Hey, when you get saved, when you trust Christ as your Savior, immediately today the Holy Spirit is given to you. He is in you. You have the Holy Ghost of God. The question is, does He have you? Does He have you? You say, well, why is He given? First, I'm not going to even turn there, but you jot this down. Ephesians 1, verse 12, 13, and 14 tells us that the Holy Ghost is the earnest money for our complete redemption. It's the earnest money. God gives it to us at salvation. He gives it to the Holy Spirit, and that is the earnest money that we're going to be completely redeemed one of these days.
Amen.
All right? Now, we understand earnest money as money we put out and give and say, this tells you I'm going to buy that. Whatever it is, your house, a vehicle. Here's the earnest money. It's this money right here. That earnest money tells you, I'm going to make that purchase. I'm going to completely buy it. Well, what the Holy Spirit is for the believer, and folks, I'll be honest with you, this shouting ground for a child of God, and what the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes in you, that's earnest money that one of these days you'll be completely redeemed. You say, what do you mean completely? I mean this old body. We're going to get a new body. Why? How do you know that? The Holy Ghost is in me. And I know I've got it coming, man. It's coming. This one here, I'm going to shuck off one of these days. Now, I may shuck off with it because I die physically, okay? Man, the only thing's going to die is this body. Okay? This old body will die and I'm going to give it up because I'm done with it. But I've got a new body waiting for me. And I said, how do you know? Got the earnest money. Have the Holy Spirit. You can't buy it. Your money's no good here, buddy. Your money's no good. But God says, all right, I'll give you the Holy Ghost. But the question for you and me is, are we going to let the Holy Ghost have us? Are we going to let Him fill us? Are we going to allow Him to have all of us? Hey, can't buy it. But you can get it by giving yourself to Him, yielding yourself. Romans chapter 6, verse 12 says this, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Then down in verse 16 it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Hey, old Simon was frustrated. Simon there in Acts chapter 8 was frustrated. Hey, he was no longer the fellow he used to be through sorcery and fakery. And he saw a way, man, if I had that power, and if I had that kind of power, I could elevate myself. So he came and said, let me give you some money. I want to buy that. Peter said, man, your money perish with you. Your money's not good here. The Bible talked about him, said he was in bitterness. Why? His heart wasn't right with God. His heart wasn't right with God. You know, I kind of wonder if that's not the same condition a lot of people are in today, because they're trying to buy their way to God. Some with money. Some with money. He said, what do you mean? Well, there's some people that think, well, preacher, I'll give to the church, and that's what God wants me to do, is I'll just give, and that'll take care of it. Wait a minute. You're supposed to give. That's your obligation before God, and you should give. But that won't do. That won't give you what God wants to give you. It cannot be bought. Some people think, well, I'm going to do it with my labor. I'm going to work, and that way I'm going to earn the favor of God. Hey, you want what God can and will give, but you're trying to get it your way rather than God's way. Trying to have what I want from God, but I don't want to get it His way. I want to get it my way. You need to realize when it comes to spiritual things, your money is no good here. When it comes to spiritual things, your money is no good. It won't get you what you want. What God wants is a broken heart and a contrite heart. What God wants is for you to give Him you. To give Him you. And say, Lord, here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. If I'm not mistaken, I heard you say that in Sunday school. Brother Peterson said there came a time when he decided, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. When I was a teenage boy, I remember walking the aisle and saying to God, Lord, here I am. I'll do whatever you want me to do. You're mine. I'll do whatever. Not you're mine, but I'm yours. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Now, you may be sitting there in this auditorium this morning and say, bless God, I don't want to be a preacher. And I sure don't want to be a missionary. Well, God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary. To go to a foreign country. God doesn't call everybody to be a pastor, to stand behind a pulpit and open the Bible and preach you the Word of God. You're safe. Relax. It'll be all right. But I'm going to tell you this. If you'll give God you, if you will give God you, you'll be happy to do whatever He wants you to do. I don't care what it is. Hey, I grew up in a preacher's home. I knew what it was like to be in the ministry. I knew that. I'd seen it. I'd seen what can happen. Look, I can tell you some horror stories. But I have to work hard to remember them. And I'm not lying there. I'm telling you the truth. I have to work hard to remember them. Why? Because years ago I gave myself to God, and I've been quite happy doing what He wanted me to do. Whatever. And if you do that, He'll do the same for you. Simon said, I want that power. Let me fork it. No, you can't buy it. Your money's no good. Now, we want the things of God. But the only way to give it, the only way to get it, is to give yourself. The only way to get it, you have to give yourself. You have to give yourself. I think old Simon was a little repentant. When he heard what could happen, he said, would you pray for me? Pray for me that that doesn't happen. Pray for me. Hey, here you are this morning. You want what only God can give? want salvation's forgiveness, the only way to get it is to come to him by faith and ask him to save your soul. Ask him to forgive you to be a sinner. You don't bring anything with you. As the song says, in my hand no price I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Why? Nothing you can bring. You can't afford it, friend. You can't. It's not within your means and your ability. The only one you can come to is come to him. Why? Because he'll give it to you by grace. But that grace is free too. So what I got to do to deserve the grace? Nothing. Just come and accept it. Just come and accept it. Hey, you want that. That's the only way to get it. You come to him. You cannot get to heaven any other way. I believe you get baptized after you get saved. But that baptistry or no other baptistry in this world gets you to heaven. No other place. Well, I'll go be baptized there in the Jordan River the way Jesus was. Great, but that won't get you to heaven. Truth of the matter is, if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, you can go to Jordan River. They'll put you under the water. You'll come up the same way you went down, a lost sinner. The only difference is you'll be wet. But if you'll come to Christ and realize, I can't, my money's no good here. I'll trust him as my Savior. He'll save my soul, and he will do it. He will do it. His invitation is, you come. You come. For whosoever, boy, I like that word. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He'll save you if you'd come. He'll save you if he's come. But Christian, let me say something to you. Maybe sitting here and you're thinking, well, man, I'm saved. Nothing in that message for me. Oh, yeah, we get down to that last point. The filling of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Holy Ghost. So how do I get it? You come to God. And you give yourself to him. You give yourself. You yield your members. You yield to him. He said, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. You want the things of God? Can't buy them. Your money's no good. But if you'll come, God's ready to give it to you if you'll give yourself to him. Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed today. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we call on you this morning because we need you. Lord, I've done my best this morning to preach and show that the grace of God cannot be bought. The forgiveness of salvation cannot be bought. Lord, the filling of the Holy Ghost of God cannot be bought. But Lord, it's available. It's available to every one of us if we'll meet your conditions. If we'll come, we'll call. We'll give ourselves. Lord, you're ready to give to us. Lord, would you speak to us today? Dear God, that one, that two that are here this morning never trusted Christ as their Savior. Lord, they may be a church member. They may have been through the baptistry. But Lord, they've never been born again. Would you deal with them? Help them to come. Help them to walk the aisle today and take my hand and say, Preacher, I need to trust Christ today. Lord, maybe there's a Christian here this morning that needs to come and say, I'll give myself to you, Lord, because I want the power of the Holy Spirit in my life, not for my gain, but for your glory. Lord, would you deal with us, I say, and I pray in Jesus' name.